Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Right or wrong? Black or white? Death or life? These things are like two sides of a coin, heads or tails. One is completely and utterly the opposite of the other. If you flip a coin, there's a 50-50 chance of guessing which side will land face up. And the truth is that you can't have both. One side will be face down and one side will be face up. They're opposed to each other, life or death. You get one or the other, but never both. Which side is God on? In our text for today, God brings both death and life. Elijah is both a curse and a blessing. So, which side is God on? Which side is face up for God? Is it death or is it life? Well, at first glance, as we look in this world that we live in, we see that families are separated. I'm sure we all have a friendship that's fallen apart. We see bodies that break down and wear out. People we love, they get sick. They die. The truth is that our world is broken. Where's God? Where's God in the midst of our broken world? Is he on the side of death and hardship and pain? Is that why we have to experience this? Many folks in our world will say just that. That God is like the Grim Reaper. He just can't wait to sort of reach out and give somebody that touch of death and bring the most horrible hardship into people's lives. In the Old Testament text for today, Elijah comes as God's messenger, the man of God. What does Elijah bring with him? Death. Elijah brings suffering. Now, we read a great part from 1 Kings, starting with verse 17, but to be honest, this story actually starts in the verses preceding that. Because what happens, but Elijah comes to King Ahab, and he tells King Ahab, there's going to be a drought. Not like a central Illinois drought where, we only get a few rainfalls through the summer. This drought was unlike any other. No rain, no dew even, for 3 entire years. Not a single drop of rain. Famine is unavoidable. And so when Elijah comes to King Ahab with this message, it's bad news for the king. And as we find Elijah interacting with this widow, it's bad news for this widow too. You see, when Elijah first comes to her, before this whole ordeal with her son dying, she only has one meal left. She's got a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil, just enough to make one more small loaf of bread that her and her son can eat it. And then since there is no more, she's just ready to die. She's just ready to give up, to let the Lord take her away. Elijah brings bad news. What's worse is then as we actually make it into 1 Kings 17 and following, we hear all about what happens to this widow's son. He dies. It all leaves us thinking, what sort of messenger from God is this? He hasn't brought any good news. He hasn't done anything wonderful yet. First, he's taking from a widow who has nothing to give. He's giving bad news about droughts. And then this widow's son dies on top of all of it. Messenger of God, stay away. We don't want you. She asks Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son." Elijah brings bad news. And as God's messenger, he makes God sort of look like this bully who likes to burn the feelers off of the ants as they walk down the anthill. Is that what we should expect from God? Some sort of bully? Some sort of God who likes to pick on the little guy? Sometimes in this life, when things just keep coming up, just one problem after the next, one more person gets sick after the next, one more death after the next, it makes us wonder, is our God a God of death? Well, the woman in our story decides that Elijah has come to bring her sin to remembrance. And she's absolutely right. That's why God sends his prophets, to preach repentance, to preach about how folks have really failed at God's law and encourage them that there's something better. But part of that means that we have to come to terms. Come to terms with the fact that we are sinful. This woman did. "I know why you're here, Elijah. You're here to bring my sins to remembrance." And that's exactly why God gives us prophets. That's exactly why God gives us the law, why he gives us the Ten Commandments. It is to show us our sin. I'm going to read through the Ten Commandments. And the more you study God's law, the more you realize how much you utterly fail. It brings your sins to remembrance. What else it does is it shows us that we really are deserving of punishment. We deserve a separation from those we love. Why? Because inevitably we separate ourselves from people we think we're better than the lowly, than the people in society we don't want to associate with. What else do we deserve? We deserve the sickness and death. Why? Because we haven't kept God's word. If we loved God, we would keep his commandments. But we don't. The truth is that every time we break God's law, we show how much we hate him. We deserve the punishment. You see, God's not a bully. He's a righteous judge. If a criminal stands before the judge and receives the guilty verdict they are due, whose fault is it for the prison sentence? Do we blame the judge? Or do we blame the criminal? The punishment fits the guilty verdict is just. So if you look back at Elijah, did the woman and her son sin? Yeah. Did her son deserve to die? Yes. But is that the way God wants the world to be? And the answer to that is no. In fact, absolutely not. Sometimes we are so dialed in, so focused on all the bad stuff that can happen in this world. In fact, all the bad stuff that even happens to us in this world, that we overlook God's good. It's so much easier to focus on how God is punishing us and not focus so much on how God is gifting us, how he's giving us great things in this life. And so today, don't overlook God's goodness toward you. In 1 Kings, God did not let the son and his widow mother die. Because even though he asks her for the bread, you know, the last bit of her flour and oil, upon giving it to Elijah, God allows that flour and oil to miraculously last through the entire drought. When Elijah comes, her son dies, absolutely. But what does Elijah do? He carries him in his arms into the upper room, and he brings him back to life. A wonderful miracle. It shows us that the man of God who does bring death is true. But more than that, the man of God brings hope. Because that's who God is. He's a God of life. Our God is a God of life. Do we all deserve punishment? Absolutely. We do deserve the bad in this world, it's true. But death is not what God wants for you. Instead, he wants you to have life and have it to the full. We saw it in creation, didn't we? Before Adam and Eve ate the fruit, before sin entered this world, how did God make it? Perfect. Perfect lives. Perfect world. Perfect love. Perfect trust. Perfect relationships. Everything entirely was perfect. And God wants to bring you back to that. As a righteous God, he hasn't just left you alone in your sin. He doesn't just shrug his shoulders or, you know, shake his head and walk on. No, God does something for you. He sends you someone who is greater than Elijah. He sends you his very son. He sends you Jesus, who takes your place as someone deserving death, and you take his as someone who receives life. Because in order for God to be righteous, in order for him to be just, it means he still has to punish our sins. But he doesn't punish you for them. He punishes his one and only son. That's how God saves you. The guilty verdict comes down to Jesus, and the innocent verdict comes to you. Jesus sends his son to crash funerals. Jesus sends his son to restore a broken world. Even in our text we read from the gospel, what happens? There's literally a funeral procession coming through town. What does Jesus do? Stop everything! Not even death can stop Jesus. He has compassion. He raises the dead. Because that's how much Jesus loves you. He loves you enough to give you life and to take your death. He could have just shrugged his shoulders, but he didn't. Jesus died. It's true. But Jesus rose. You see, Jesus is still alive. And he desires that same resurrection for you. Because the truth is that we still live in this world. We will still experience the hardship. Those we love will still die. We'll still have to endure the separation. But in those times, it's why we look to the resurrection. Because when Jesus conquers death, he conquers sin, he conquers Satan. It's just like what happened for that boy in Elijah's time. See what happens? He takes the boy up into the upper room, right? And he lays on him how many times? 3 times. Do you know what happened to you 3 times? Baptism. Not that you were baptized 3 times, but God put the water on your head in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And in that moment, you were connected to Jesus' death. His death is your death. His life is your life. It means you have life now and you have life to all eternity. And so the hardships in this world, the death in this world, the pain in this world, the separation in this world, it has no power over you. For in one, we are all together. With those on earth, with those who have gone before. In Jesus Christ, the pain we experience, we know, is only temporary. The death we die is only for a time because we have a promise of resurrection into all eternity. By Jesus' death and resurrection, he restores the world to what it was supposed to be. And he shows the sort of God he is towards you. So which is it? Do you want to flip the coin? The truth is that God has a double-sided coin. You can flip it. You can call it in the air, but I guarantee for you, in Jesus Christ, God's coin always lands life side up. In Jesus' name, amen.